closely akin to that, so let's deal with it too. This question is it a sin to listen and sing to gospel music with instrumental music outside worship service? RJ, you want to deal with that? Do you understand what they're asking?
Yeah.
Well, if you...
I was planning on having most of the questions and saying no comment. But, of course, being in the teaching of singing at the schools and all, I have been asked this so many times. I believe that you can sing gospel music outside of the assembly. And I think we have proof of that in Paul and Silas singing in the jail. And I'm afraid that we don't do enough singing outside the assembly anyway. I think we need to do a lot more of it at home. I have difficulty believing that I can sing the spiritual songs with an instrument outside of the assembly. That's my personal conviction about that. I believe that I write a lot of music, and I use the piano to write the music, but even then I don't like to sing with the words that I am putting to the music. Now that's a personal conviction with me, and I realize that, and I've come in contact with several people who seem to think that they can sing with the instrument outside of the assembly. And if they conscientiously believe that, I'm not saying that's right, but I do believe that we ought to try to be as understanding toward one another about that. But I've often thought that if I can pray outside of the assembly, I can sing outside of the assembly, and if I should sing scripturally in the assembly, I should sing scripturally outside of the assembly. And that was my reasoning about that. I'll admit there have been times when I violated my own conscience about that. But it does bother me a whole lot when I go into someone's home and they want to start playing the piano and start singing spiritual songs. I have difficulty thinking that I can sing "My Faith Looks Up to Thee" up here without the instrument. It must be without it, we say. But I go right into the home of someone, sing the same song with the instrument, and it's all right. I have difficulty seeing that. It looks inconsistent to me, but that's my personal conviction about that.
We'll get off of you, RJ. Okay. Here's a good question that I never had heard asked before, but it says, how is it that Saul destroyed all the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15, verse 8, and yet there were Amalekites at the time of his death, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1? Anybody want to answer that? Question is, how is it that Saul destroyed all the Amalekites, as mentioned in 1 Samuel 15, verse 8? And yet there were still Amalekites at the time of his death, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. Anybody want to deal with that?
Let's look at that.
Good question.
Answer that tomorrow. Okay, we'll answer that tomorrow night. Okay. Here's another one. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, was Paul talking about money? In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, was Paul talking about money? Well, it doesn't say. Tell you what, that's another one probably we ought to leave till tomorrow night. Some of these, let me request that as you ask questions that you be very specific. That one's not specific at all. There are a lot of things he talks about if you're talking about any particular verse in there. Here's a good one. Explain God created man in his own image. In what sense was Adam the image of God? Brother Harry, why don't you deal with that?
Here's the question. The thing about these questions that I ask before we've had a chance to look at them test our wits and also tries us half wits. So that's a pretty good challenge, isn't it? God is spirit, and God is the father of our spirits. So since God is spirit, and we are made in the image of God, it would have to be in his spirit, that is the spirit of man, is in the image of God. Now, whether God has shape or whatever, I don't know that. We just have to, we know the Bible talks about different to human parts ascribed to God. But what he will be when we see him, I don't know. But I'm convinced from the Acts the 17th chapter, for we're his offspring. Hebrews the 13th chapter, why he made our spirits, and God is spirit. So in his image is the spirit of man, that is in the image of God. It's in the form of God, that is the essence of God. I think that those two or three passages answer the question. I don't know, but what we shall be when we shall see him, as John said, we know not what we shall be, but we shall be like him, that is Christ, for we shall see him even as he is. So I've always been satisfied with the idea that it's in the spirit, are we in God's image.
You're enjoying it, okay. Probably some of these it would be good if I got them a little ahead of time and could let them look at them a little bit, because it's difficult to get something sprung on you. That was a good explanation of that last. Here's a question. Can a Christian have social fellowship with a member of their family that has gone astray? I don't know whether that's very specific or not. Does anybody want to see where? Can you have social fellowship with a member of your family that has gone astray? And I assume they're talking about one who's a Christian who's gone astray.
I might as well get my feet wet on something.
Okay.
You know, someone made the suggestion that since Brother Stevens was a preacher as well as a song leader and he's not getting to preach in this meeting, let's let him answer all the questions. This is one of those questions that is a little bit like that question about the singing a while ago. A lot of this is going to be determined on the basis of the conscientiousness, or that is the conscience of the individual that is involved. And I'd like to answer this by setting up a particular situation to illustrate it. Let's suppose that a husband and wife, both members of the church, attending services faithfully are in fellowship with a local church. And let's say that the husband, during the process of their being in fellowship with the congregation, he becomes guilty of drunkenness. He is faced with that not only by his wife, but by the members of the congregation and trying to get him to repent. And they don't succeed, at least for a while. The congregation withdraws fellowship from him. I'm asking another question, and some of these other fellows may want to ask or answer this question. But the question that I'm raising is, does the wife then have to leave him, separate from him, and live separately from him and withdraw fellowship from him? Does the Lord require that of her? And of course, I believe much of this has to be based upon not what the Bible specifically says. You know, the Bible not only teaches by command and specific authority, but it also teaches by that which is necessarily inferred. And when you take all that the New Testament says on that subject, I believe that the New Testament teaches that we have a relationship in the family even before we ever become Christians. And that there is not going to be, or there is not the necessity of applying in every case the same rules in family relationships as there is between simply those who are fellow Christians in a congregation. And so my answer is no, not in all cases. I do not believe that is absolutely necessary, in all cases at least, for family, immediate family members at least, like husbands and wives, parents and children, to withdraw their social association or their relationships with each other in the family. However, I would hasten to say, even while those relationships continue, nothing should be done or said to encourage the member of the family that is sinning in their sin. When the subject comes up and when the opportunity comes up, let them know that they're wrong and sinful and that they ought to repent of the sin that they're committing. Brethren, have your opportunity.
Good job. We've only got a couple of minutes here. Here's a good one. Brethren, this probably has to do with something that's about to transpire here in our community. They're building a racetrack here, and I'm sure that's why this question was submitted. Would it be wrong to attend the horse races and make a small wager for recreation purposes? And they've got IE at Remington Park, so I know it has to do with it.
Is it wrong to... To gamble, I guess what they're asking, to make bets. Is it?
One of them says wrong anytime.
Want to deal with that? Here it is.
Would it be wrong to attend a horse race and make a small wager for recreation? No more than it would be to make a big one.
I'll tell you what, the questions that I have left, well, we might have a minute for this one. The last three that I have, I know there's no way they can be answered in about 2 or 3 minutes we have left. But here's one. Would you please explain the existence of dinosaurs in the light of the creation? Please explain the existence of dinosaurs in the light of the creation. I do not know what to mean there specifically. This probably came from one of our younger people that are having something to do.
I just have one thought on it, Brother James, and that is the same way there are animals that are becoming extinct in our own time. And our ecologists and so forth, those who deal in that particular realm, are constantly trying to work in an effort to save those from extinction. If there are those animals in danger of extinction today, there could have possibly been animals in the past that existed that became extinct. Now, if the question relates to all of this time scale and all of these dates, I remember something that Brother Wallace said years ago. A Bible that does not date the earth, and scientists that cannot date it, and young people, don't let any of these people who are not really all that well schooled and so forth in science try to tell you that they can absolutely date any of these things, especially after you get back thousands and thousands and hundred thousands and then millions of years, because the best scientists agree that their dating processes are not accurate. And if that relates to that, I really see no particular problem with that, because down here at Glen Rose, Texas, they have footprints of human beings right along, I'm told, with footprints of dinosaurs. Of course, Dr. Carl Sagan doesn't want to admit that the human footprints is there. I heard him on TV one night when they asked him about those, and he doesn't want to admit that they're there. He wants to ignore them. But that's nothing new. For the evolutionists, they want to ignore many things that are evidences for the integrity and truthfulness of the Bible. But going back to the point that I first made, I see no problem with the fact that that animal could have become extinct in the past.